Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Attorney John Mauch. Mr. Mauch is a partner at the Mauch & Baker Law Firm in Chicago. Mauch & Baker, nationally known for representing churches, religious institutions, businesses, and individuals. Mr. Mauch, Mauch & Baker recently won an important legal victory for pastors and for young people who are experiencing same-sex attraction.
Well, it involves a very important issue, that is helping people who have sexual confusion, sexual identity confusion. And unfortunately, our Illinois legislature has added to the confusion by trying to make it illegal to help people with same-sex attractions who are uncomfortable with those, who are saying, I'm a guy and I think I might like guys, but I don't really like where I'm going. And so help me understand, and help me get out of this confusion. So the Illinois legislature, almost exclusively Democrats, passed a law making it illegal for counselors to help people change their same-sex attractions and get rid of them, overcome them, or live comfortably with them. So this law was a great interference on the rights of people to make their own choice. The legislature also seemed to put on pastors a threat of being charged with consumer fraud if they were paid as counselors and in the course of their counseling helped people see that same-sex attractions were overcomable, and that you could live a celibate life or you could reorient and be healed from those same-sex attractions. So part of the law appeared to make it illegal for pastors to provide that counseling, and therefore, of course, young people and people of any age couldn't get that type of pastoral counseling. Now, we know that the ambiguity in the law that seemed to apply to pastors was deliberate because the Republicans in the House offered an amendment to the law saying this law does not apply to pastoral counseling. And on a party line vote, that was turned down. There was also a great deal of lobbying done with Governor Rauner, saying, Governor Rauner, this is a bad law. It impinges on pastors and puts a threat out there, because if you refer to something as a dysfunction, that's what the law said, that's really what we as believers in Jesus would call sin. We're all dysfunctional, but it was making it possibly consumer fraud to refer to homosexual conduct as a dysfunction. It is a dysfunction, and that's what pastors believe and teach, and that's what we want to heal from and help people. So that's the background. There is a threat, and many pastors were backing off. Sadly, almost all Christian counselors we contacted were stopping reparative therapy counseling. But the pastors, some were willing to continue and fight. So we put together a group of them. Pastors Protecting Youth is the name they chose. And these pastors sued to get what's called a declaratory judgment, that is to ask a court to spell out that this law does not apply to pastors, and pastors are free from any governmental threat of consumer fraud. They're free to continue their pastoral counseling. So we filed this lawsuit against the state of Illinois and against Attorney General Lisa Madigan, who's charged with enforcing it. And we said, we want some type of ruling that pastors are exempt. And we got a good ruling, and it was really enjoyable to see that the judge did what we asked, one of the alternatives we gave the judge is just throw our case out because we want an opinion that this does not apply to pastors. And so the judge considered our arguments, and the state was happy to see our lawsuit thrown out, but we were even happier because we got an opinion that says this law does not impinge on the rights of pastors to counsel and to state that homosexuality is a dysfunction or to call it sin and to help people repent or to help people be healed. So we feel that we've stopped the gay agenda, which was to shut pastors up because they were shutting some of them up. But there's a lot more to be done because they have shut up Christian and other counselors who believe and have strongly stated that reparative therapy can help those people who want to change, who are not happy with their same-sex attraction. So we praise God for the victory, and there's still a lot of work to be done.
Now, one of your goals is to get the word out to pastors that, hey, you can do this with minimal risk.
Well, now, yes, you can do it now with minimal risk because we at least have one federal court opinion that says this does not apply to pastors. And so there is no prohibition there. Of course, a different court could see it differently, but we think this will thwart part of the agenda of the gay lesbian coalitions. It's trying to keep people from changing if they're not happy with their homosexual orientation or behavior and want out. And really, there's been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of people who've been in the gay lifestyle who said, no, I want to come to Jesus, and Jesus, please help me. It's not an easy path to come out of such a lifestyle, but people are doing that.
You mentioned the victory in federal court and also that there's still work to be done. What needs to be done?
Well, as you mentioned, Monty, of course, you have to get the word out and you have to help people see what the battle is and see what we're called to do. We have to realize that there is a lie going around that you can't change, that you're born gay, that you are gay. No, you choose to be gay, and it may be difficult to change, but it's possible. With God, all things are possible. We have to believe God's word above the lie that's being circulated that you can't change. So we need to get that word out, and we need to teach deliverance. We need to pray with people. We need to encourage our pastors. We need to tell our kids there are choices to be made, and let's get fully educated on this so we can follow God. So there are many, many levels on which believers can respond.
Now, while Malcolm Baker helped win a victory for pastors, the law that Governor Rauner signed into effect, House Bill 217, still bans licensed mental health counselors from talking about what we refer to as reparative therapy.
Well, that's correct. And almost every counselor, and we interviewed 7 to 10 Christian counselors who have engaged in reparative therapy with their patients. And their response was unanimous. They said people can be helped through reparative therapy. It is possible. Nobody said it was easy. What was unanimous is this is a bad law. It's taking politics and political correctness and masquerading it as science and making it law and depriving these people of an option and a choice. The third part was the disquieting part. Every counselor that we spoke to said, I hope somebody else will challenge this law and bring it down, because at least the counselors we spoke to were afraid of losing their license and losing their ability to practice, because when you're licensed, unlike pastors who are not licensed by the state, but if you're licensed by the state, you can be deprived of the ability to earn a living. So that's the threat, and nobody was willing to take that big risk. It's not going to be challenged, probably, unless there's somebody who is willing to come and stand up, and probably we would need several people to do that. And until that happens, people are going to be suffering, and people are not going to be getting the counseling that can help them.
So are you telling me that Malcolm Baker would be willing to enter that fight?
Well, we're willing to enter it, and I don't want to make it sound easy. We won't lose our law license for bringing forth the arguments on behalf of licensed counselors. It's tougher for them, but we'd stand there with them, and other Christian organizations, I think, probably would, and I think they would they would be financially supported by many people in the Christian community if they're willing to take the stand that puts them at risk of losing their license. Of course, they don't have to engage in reparative therapy counseling to challenge it. They can simply say, I used to engage in reparative therapy counseling, and I want to do so in the future to help people, but I'm not doing it now because the law makes it illegal and I don't want to lose my license. So they can challenge the law without breaking the law. Sometimes you have to break the law to challenge it, but not in a case like this.
What do you see as the implications of this legal victory that allows pastors to counsel kids who are same-sex attracted?
The implications here in Illinois is a threat has been removed or greatly reduced for the time being, so pastors can go ahead and counsel. And for Christian counselors who are afraid, you have a place to send people who need counseling and want counseling. So the pastors ought to gear up and understand the deliverance and the healing that can take place, because these Christian counselors should be sending and referring their patients who want that type of counseling to pastors who know what they're doing. So that's what's happening locally. Part of the bigger picture is understanding what the strategy of the Gay Lesbian Alliance has been doing, what they did with the gay marriage issue, and they're trying to repeat the same thing with reparative therapy, which is, first of all, convince the public of something untrue. In the gay marriage case, that you can be married to somebody of the same gender, that man can make that law, and in the reparative therapy, that you're born gay and that you have no choice. So convince people of something that's not true according to the Bible and according to how God has made us, then begin the campaign to change it by making it politically incorrect and by using the laws. In the gay marriage case, they used the very liberal states, Massachusetts, Hawaii, California. Now, with reparative therapy, they've tried the same thing in the strongly Democratic states, California, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois. They've gotten laws passed criminalizing or providing serious penalties short of being put in prison, like losing your counseling license. People who try to help those with unwanted same-sex attractions. It's shocking, but it's the same pattern. Well, nationally, it puts one stop, this is a small piece in a bigger picture, but one stop to the agenda saying you can't impinge on pastors. If the law had said explicitly pastors are not allowed to do this, then do this type of counseling, then they would have had a tougher argument in court. But they tried to sneak it in by saying anyone engaged in commerce who calls homosexual conduct a dysfunction. Well, of course, when you think about it, only pastors or 99% of the counselors in this area are going to be pastors, or they're going to be licensed. They're going to be teachers or psychologists or psychiatrists. So this law was aimed at pastors, and now pastors at least have one decision protecting them, and we hope to keep that and enlarge that scope of protection. But most of all, we want to help people. We want them to be able to be fully informed so they can make choices about their lives before God. God, do you want me to change? Can you help me to change? And this is the freedom that we want to fight for.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with Attorney John Malk after this.
People are talking a lot about healthcare these days. There are so many changes, so many questions. As Christians, where can we turn for answers? Well, at Samaritan Ministries, we believe the answer is in Jesus Christ, working in the lives of His people, demonstrating Christian community by sharing each other's medical needs, scripturally, faithfully. Here's just part of Lana's story in her own words.
I love getting the monthly share that I give to each month that has a name of a real person and their real medical concerns and a prayer request, you know, for them. That I get to interact with people from all over the country, just like me, and get to pray for them and know that they're praying for me when I have a need. It's great. I love it.
Lana is just one of over 200,000 members who are sharing over $23 million in medical needs each month. If you'd like to experience what it's like to partner with other Christians for your healthcare needs, and you'd like to see what other members are saying, visit MySamaritanStory.org.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarrus, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, and I am joined by John Malk, an attorney and a partner with the Malcolm Baker Law Firm in Chicago. In terms of protecting religious liberty, just how important is it for President Trump not only to appoint Supreme Court justices who support religious liberty and pro-life issues, but also judges in the lower courts?
Well, it's hugely important because it depends on worldview. Almost everybody will say they're in favor of freedom of religion, but the issue comes when free exercise of religion conflicts with other rights and other values, which ones prevail. And under President Obama, the head of his Civil Rights Commission stated that when religious freedom rights conflicted with almost any other rights, the other rights would prevail. So you have religious freedom, then you have people who run a bakery and say, I don't want to bake a cake for people who are getting a same-sex marriage, and the government's coming down on them and fining them and putting them out of business, really, if they won't bend the knee to that man-made creed that people can marry other people of the same sex. And even if they're allowing them, why take people of faith and say you can't run your business? And even though people can get their wedding cakes or photography or other things elsewhere. On the other hand, if people see free exercise of religion, and this includes judges, as one of the fundamental founding principles of our society, the Puritan and Pilgrim battles to come here so they could freely worship God, if that's part of our heritage, then these are core values, and they will be protected, and exceptions will be given to those who, as a matter of conscience, don't want to have to pay for insurance that provides abortion. So this is important for all judges and all cases, to get good judges who have an understanding that our laws aren't ultimately man-made, that we are here on earth to follow God, and that God has created us, and we need to figure out what's justice in his view and try to apply that. Of course, Supreme Court justices are even more important in our system, because we want some order and we want some consistency, so we'd like Supreme Court justices that have a high view of religious freedom also.
What do you know about Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch? Will he protect religious freedom?
Well, Monty, we can never fully know a person's heart. All we can do is evaluate and judge by how they've acted, how they've made decisions in the past, what they profess, and are they honest in what they profess, are they consistent, things like that. And as best as practically possible, Judge Gorsuch, or Justice Gorsuch, is a man who will follow the law. He will not put his own opinions above those of the legislature, the Senate, Congress, the President, or the people, or the Constitution, but will try to interpret the law. That's a difficult task, but it's an important paradigm, because there are other judges, including some on the Supreme Court, who think they're there to decide as wise rulers of this nation what are the best values and how to enforce those values. And then they read those into the Constitution as saying, of course, any person who would agree with me would rightly agree that the Constitution provides for gay marriage, for example, or provides for abortion. These are things that are not found in the Constitution, but they're read into it. So back to Neil Gorsuch, we have confidence, but our confidence isn't in him. Our confidence has to be in God. We know that he was vetted by the Federalist Society, and the Christian Legal Society works in close conjunction with them. I've read things that he's written. I'm very impressed by it, and many other people are. We have confidence going forward, but as I said before, it's not ultimately in him. We have to have our confidence in God.
As you're well aware, there's a bill in the legislature, House Bill 40, that if enacted, would require taxpayers to pay for abortions. If this does become law, would there be any grounds for this to be challenged in court?
Well, it depends on the law and how the tax is levied. And if there's a way to challenge it, there will be people challenging it. With the Obama health care law that required companies to pay for abortions, the Hobby Lobby and Little Sisters of the Poor challenged it and were successful. And likewise, Illinois law will be challenged if it's requiring people to violate their conscience and violate their duty to God to protect the unborn. I'm not going to pay for it, and I know you're not going to pay for it.
Well, let me ask you, too. Malcolm Baker, not just involved in just some of the big cases out there, but you're helping local churches, and you've picked up a couple of victories here lately.
Well, we had godly providential help in Markham with a church that had bought a building in a commercial area and original Bible church. Ironically, the pastor was also a tent maker. He built other churches around the country, and he came to Markham and started a church there and then bought a building that was suitable for a church in a commercial area, and Markham said, we have enough churches, we don't want any more. And there's a view in many communities, particularly among the city councils and zoning boards, that they have the ultimate say. Some of them haven't heard about the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution that says free exercise of religion and federal law, such as the Religious Land Use Act, take precedence over the state law or over local municipal ordinances. We had to go to federal court on behalf of the original Bible church, but federal Judge Shah ruled that they were entitled to build a church at that location because the community allowed other assembly uses, such as clubs or lodges, theaters. I'm not sure which particular comparators were there, but there were enough assembly uses and non-commercial uses allowed in this commercial zone that the judge rightly applied the law and said, if you're going to allow people to come together to watch a play, then they can come together to worship God, to pray, or to read the Bible.
Has it been your experience that communities are increasingly becoming hostile to having like startup churches come to town because of this desire for tax revenue? You know, they have a tax-exempt status, these churches.
Well, we're seeing cross currents. On the negative side, there is increasing concern about municipal finances, and this is mostly from secularists who are saying a church doesn't generate cash to put in the pockets of the city. However, we're also seeing more studies and more people realizing the financial value to a community of churches. They're saving marriages, they're keeping kids out of jail, they're keeping people off of drugs, they're helping people who've been on drugs turn their life around, and they're sponsoring AA and other practical solutions that even non-believers would recognize are valuable in a community. So that is helping to counter some of the secularization where we have fewer people going to church and really understanding the work of God through the people of God. So it's a battle, and it's a battle worth fighting for the new church. We'd rather have the church there and not fight, but we'll fight if we need to.
Which leads me to this. How can pastors, churches, individuals connect with Malcolm Baker?
Well, MalcolmBaker.com. We have a website, and there are all sorts of resources there. You can read about our cases. Then plug into our newsletter, a newsletter that covers things that you're covering here. These are not cases and issues that are being covered by the secular press. Believers wouldn't otherwise have, and we think Malcolm Baker does that through our newsletter and website. And, of course, pray, 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 pray for us.
Well, thank you very much, John Malcolm. By the way, the Lawyers for Jesus program with the Malcolm Baker team airs Sundays at 12:30 on AM 1160 WYLL Radio.
Amen. I guess you've been tuning in.
Right. Listen, thanks so much. John Malcolm, partner with the Malcolm Baker Law Firm in Chicago. God bless. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.